Hey, Chickpeas, Ace Man here. Before we get started, I want to thank you for sharing this product with a friend. Honestly, the only reason we're here and the lights are on and we've been going strong for over 4 years now is because of you and you telling a friend, a loved one, and or a coworker. So thank you so much in advance and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest tonight, comedian Adam Ray, plus Allison Rosen on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a visit from David Wilde, plus a review of Ender's Game in Hooray for Baldywood. And now, if he could be suspended for controversial comments, he'd have to take 16 years off. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for spreading the good news, little angels. Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And the bald one, Bald Brian.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Jesmond on Twitter wanted that with the hashtag T-O-P-D-R-O-P. Yeah, top drop.
David Wilde in studio, everybody. Good to see you, David.
Float on, Adam
Float
Carolla.
On, my friend. All right. Lots of stuff to talk about. First, a revelation. I was watching a little TV. If you watch TV around 5, 6 in the evening, watch your local channels, you see lots of advertisements for car insurance and lawyers who handle things that happen to you when you're in a car. And I realized you will never get in an accident, at least according to these commercials, if you look like you're concentrating and not having a good time when you're driving a car. If you're footloose and fancy-free, like talking, I don't mean hands off the wheel. I just mean talking to your friends and enjoying. Boom.
Yeah. That's the precursor.
That's the precursor. So if you look cross and miserable when you're driving your car, and that's why I've never been in an accident. I realize.
That's your default.
My default setting is looking pissed off and irritated at the person in front of me, thus never caught by surprise. It's when you're having a good time with at least two or three girls in the car and you're talking, or it's a couple that's going out to dinner and it's like, hey, what's going on? Boom. When you get it.
Let that be a lesson to everyone. If you're enjoying yourself in your car, your spidey sense should go off and be like, well, something's up. Something's about to go.
I think most accidents are caused by douchebags listening to Steve Miller Band in their cars. I'm pretty sure that's true.
Those are the guys. But it goes up at least 100-fold. I've never seen a commercial where a guy looked like he was miserable and concentrating at the same time and holding the wheel and got into an accident.
No,
it's always in the middle
spared.
Of a good time. Yeah. That's right. They're spared.
My friend actually has a rule that neither he nor his wife can say while they're driving anything like, we have such a good life.
That's
Which
just
seems
good
weirdly
science.
Super, yeah, exactly.
It's just good science.
It's a good policy to lay down.
By the way, you shouldn't say that when you're not driving either.
You know what?
Yeah, right.
It's annoying.
It is weird. Now, you guys tell me, and I've never really had this thought, but the less religious you are, the more likely you would buy into that kind of stuff, which is weird, right?
Well, I think so, because Chris walked me to my car recently, and I was like, oh, black cats crossing my path.
Sure.
And he's like, I thought you weren't superstitious. I'm like, I'm not, except for all the superstitious things
I believe. No, you meant there's some black guys who work across the street, and you were worried.
Yeah. Black guy's working. Come on. You ruined your own joke in the setup. Of course we knew you were kidding.
Fix it in post.
We'll clean it up. Point is this. I think I've always said there's a little compartment in everyone's brain, and you can fill it with God, or you can fill it with the Wicca, or you can fill it with Santeria, or you can fill it with nature. Sometimes people get really crazy with nature, or you can fill it sometimes with politics. But there's that little space, and I don't know if they've ever done a test, but I would bet you that the people that were closer to atheists than Christian would be more superstitious. Not, again, when driving, talking about getting into accidents, right, walking under ladders that were open and things of that nature.
Leftover mystical gobbledygook section of your brain.
Right, where you're intellectually you go, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in the science of saying we're having a good life. And then then the likelihood of us getting T-boned by an 18-wheeler going up tenfold.
The most religious period of my life was the weeks right before the birth of my kids, when I literally would not at a gas station, wouldn't let it end on a 13.
Right.
Every single thing.
But
that's
not religious.
No, it was
Science.
A total superstition. It was total fear. It's
right.
Just trying to work every angle to have a healthy kid.
Right. Now, the Jews have more of that, I think, than the Christians.
Jews. Not familiar.
Have more of that, the, you know, knock on wood.
Oh, Kinahura. Kinahura
stuff. You know, it's a lot of that.
Also, more money.
It's weird because, okay, Jews generally pretty educated.
Jews.
A little less religious, but strong with the don't end on, you know. I mean, put it this way. Every time I've done any project in Hollywood, if I have a showrunner who's like a goyim.
Hooked which knows Jew.
Obviously.
Which, by the way, mathematically, mistake number one.
Doesn't exist. But exactly. But you can talk. You can say to those guys, oh, man, this thing is awesome. I know it's going to get on the air. And they go, man, I'm feeling it, too. You know, you say that to the Jewish showrunner, like, please, don't. What'd you call it?
A Kinahura. Don't put a Kinahura.
That's a curse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the late, great Alan Kirshenbaum would say that all the time. Don't even talk. You know, you'd go like, you know, we get into season four. We get some serious syndication. You're going to ruin it. But wildly educated, not very religious at all.
And I suspect if pushed, would admit they don't really believe in it, but why take a chance?
Right. But it is weird to me that if you take the one quality, to me, as you know, not Jewish, big fan of the Jews because of my step-grandfather. If you take the one quality that the least educated people living in Haiti have and the most educated people living in the Palisades have, they're about the same on the superstitious level, which is usually you don't, you know, when it comes to dental hygiene and things like that,
not
they're
that much
miles
ground.
Apart.
Yeah.
Miles
rich
apart.
Man, poor man. Superstition.
It is one of those things where Jews are the most educated I don't want to say least religious, but not the kind of religious, you know, eye in the sky kind of thing. But right up there with the Haitian villager when it comes to superstition. It's a weird thing to share. That's all I'm saying. All right. I was at the Variety's Power of Comedy on...
It's a great Huey Lewis song.
I love it. On Saturday night, Jimmy was the honoree. Found it ironic. It's basically the PC honoree when he's getting all trouble with the Chinese people at the same time. But I was...
Did they serve a Chinese meal with this show?
No, they did not. They did something that pissed me off, which is they served sliders, which, you know, you can't go wrong with a slider. They're just walking around with the tray of sliders.
So far, so good.
Right. This was a open-face slider, like a no top bun slider.
Low carb.
Which was, okay,
which
low
is
carb.
In fact, not a slider.
No, not, but okay, fine. The problem with that was I was handed it, and the guy was handing them out did not have napkins. So he just handed you the slider, and you put your finger on top of the meat. And after
That's
taking
no
a couple of bites, you realized had to steal a napkin from the one name that the Porcelain Punisher forgot to put on my list.
Boom.
Was it Paul F. Tompkins? No, not Paul F. Tompkins. What the hell is it? Not
Love
Jeff Ross, not Joel McHale, not Aziz Ansari, Will Arnett, Dana Gould, Kevin Nealon, David Spade, Adam Scott.
Well, how to be Louis C.K. then?
I'll figure out who's the guy. Who's the guy at the Gap in his too?
Oh, Paul Scheer.
Oh, Paul Scheer. It's Paul Scheer. Thanks, Dick. Thanks. Anyway, Paul Scheer. Yes, Paul Scheer was walking past me with a napkin. He performed. Jimmy was front and center, being honored, raising money for women's, I don't know what it was, women's something. But we, Johnny Walker.
It's a good cause.
Women's something. And
women's causes.
Women's causes. And I was slated to do stand-up, but I thought to myself, Jesus Christ, it seemed like only last Saturday I was standing in someone's living room doing stand-up, and then it seemed like only the night before we were performing, and I thought, every single weekend, and then I thought, fuck it, why can't I do something easy, like not do stand-up, you know? So I got James Baby Doll Dixon on the blower, and he went through the list of who was doing what, and it was like Jeff Ross is going to host. Nope. And Aziz Ansari, stand-up. Nope. Dana Gould, stand-up. Kevin Nealon, stand-up. David Spade, stand-up. Joel McHale giving a toast. I said, ooh, hitch my cart to that team. So I called Joel up, and I said, Joel, you giving a toast? And he said, yes, I'm tired of doing stand-up. You son of a bitch. Thinking just the way I think. I said, you know, it'd be great. It'll be even less work than doing a toast. He said, what? You and I.
Doing half a toast?
Doing half a toast. Just one slice of bread in that toaster, baby.
Did he bite off on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was I actually shot him an email.
He took a nibble of that idea?
He nibbled off my toast. He called while I was sitting at the IKEA on Friday and said, let's do it. I said, what do you want to do? And he said, I'll tell a joke. You tell a joke. We'll raise a glass. We'll do a toast. And,
footnote, what are
you
doing at IKEA?
I was buying.
Doesn't seem like a very Adam Carolla kind of store.
Here's what I say to people all the time. If you can find anything that is prefab, get it. Like, and I say.
Oh, kid stuff.
No.
No?
What I'm saying, I say to people, I tell people this. First off, that place has turned into just a huge restaurant. I walked in. I was like, wow, baby back ribs? I can't believe how much food is going down at the IKEA. I mean, you walk, there's rib, the smell of meatballs and ribs wafting through the place. They know what they're doing over there. First off, they zigzag you around. Once you get in, you can't get out.
You're disoriented.
It is the Roach Motel of would-be furniture buyers. You get in, and you're like, I don't know where I'm going, but I will
follow the scent of elderberry.
Right. I will walk in. I covered 26 miles just walking in a circle around that place. And if you don't eat on the way in, you'll eat on the way out. They have like 50-cent hot dog, and you can get a dozen Swedish meatballs for $4 and bring it home. Like, you
and
just
everything
can't
there is so unpleasant, but the food is pleasant.
It's you can't smell. You cannot be around that kind of, you know what? You know what? It's savory. Savory.
Underrated word.
Savory will grab your shit by the lapels and drag it into down the darkest alley ever. Like, it doesn't, you know, savory probably only, its only competition is horny, really, in terms of like what it'll get you to do. Like, what you think it's
a
good idea.
That was one of the greatest Borscht Belt comedy duos.
Savory and horny? Yeah.
They worked together for
awesome.
Years. They were
yeah.
great.
Yeah, and then when dementia set in the last years of Horny, it was so...
It got confusing.
It got sad. It really got sad to see him even do the old stuff.
Can you name the Beatles song that features the word savory? I'm working on a Beatles special right now, so I'm thinking Beatles all the time.
Norwegian Wood.
No, it's in the title. It's in the title.
Is it from the White Album?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like called Savory Truffle or something.
Indeed. Very
good. Is that what it's called?
That's good.
Yes. Yeah.
Savory very
truffle.
Good. Good pull.
Beatlemania.
Good
draw. You're just good at games.
I love the Beatles.
And trivia.
Yeah, I know all about them.
So I was – no, what I would tell people all the time, Mike August said to me, listen, I got a bunch of cabinetry I need done for my kitchen. It's going to be expensive. I said, go to IKEA. I said, well, I don't want that IKEA. I said – go there and see if there's something you like. If there's something you like there, go get it. You know, when I was a carpenter and people would say, I want some bookshelves, I'd say, go to IKEA. And they'd go, no, I want you to build me the bookshelves. I go, if I build them, even, and I'm inexpensive, it's going to cost twice as much because it's just fucking volume. It's just volume. If you wanted to build a Ford Fiesta, just bespoke. Ooh.
Bespoke.
Savory.
Savory bespoke.
Bespoke. If you want to just build it out of whole cloth, a $14,000 car, it would cost you $700,000 to build that car. Like, it just is versus the mass, just the stuff coming down the conveyor belt. You know what I'm saying? So go to IKEA. I want to do some closet upgrades. I needed some closet stock. And so I said, I'm going there.
Was it a bespoke
around.
Closet upgrade?
It cannot. Once it goes to IKEA, it can no longer be bespoke. But the restaurant, I passed a thing for like short ribs. Mm-hmm. I was going nuts in that place. And then what they do is they...
It used to be just meatballs.
I know. Oh, no, yeah, no. It's all ribs
now. The last
time
I was there, it was just a Swedish meatball.
Nope. All I could think of is... In some sitcom or in some movie, and I was thinking about my own movie too, there has to be a character that just eats at IKEA. Never shopped, never bought a thing, just literally eats there. Loves the ribs, loves the meatballs, the prices. They're 50 cents for a hot dog on the way out. They'll catch you on the way out. And then what they do is they put you in a nice long line, and they let you just stare at those meatballs and smell those meatballs on the way out. There's no way. There's no way to escape.
For my birthday, could we go there?
We could go there and eat.
I haven't been there. There was just a meatball. I was there 14 years ago, and I don't think.
I'm telling you, find me the fucking menu you pass on the way in, Gary. I saw what looked like great ribs. Although all ribs look great.
Wow.
There's no picture of bad ribs. So anyway.
I'm ready to give Kalen $40 and have him go down and get us some ribs and meatballs right now.
I would try. I wouldn't. I'd try that rib meatball.
Hold on.
Combo.
As a Jew, I'm bespoke. I'm pulling out 50. I'll treat the meatballs if someone will go get them.
All right, I need.
They're only $3.99.
Yeah, it's up the street.
I need to see those ribs I passed on the way in. I don't. Maybe they're running a special. I don't know. All right. So Joel called and we had a nice little talk in the IKEA under the backdrop of the ribs. Yes.
Can I give a footnote before you get into the story? I don't want to rip you in the middle. I want to cut off 10,000 tweets right now. The song is called Savoy Truffle, not Savory Truffle.
Yes, Savoy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you about the Savoy Truffle.
That's what I said.
Oh.
No, I
heard Savory.
I think I'm high.
Yeah. No, no. Listen, that's what Savory does. Savory and horny. They'll pull you in. They'll ruin you. They'll deplete your fluids and they'll pack some on to you, too.
Wait, so should women rub ribs behind their ears?
It wouldn't hurt.
Like I said, yeah, how could it hurt? So here's the thing. I walked into the Burbank one and saw the big rib thing on there, but I'm not. Now Gary's not finding ribs on the thing, but we'll see. Maybe it was a special that, we do. Is that beef ribs?
Beef rib and chicken dinner?
Oh, okay. Fuck. Well, maybe that's the ribs. Okay. Well, you wrote me a note, said you're not finding the ribs.
Yeah, I that was a different picture. I swapped it out.
Okay. Anyway, good times, and nice for that kid Jimmy to finally get a little recognition in this town. I had two things. It was at the Avalon. The Avalon used to be the Palace, and it's where they did that movie Against All Odds with James Woods. That was his place. Kid Creo and the Coconuts
appeared.
Were playing in that
background
of that movie.
I love when bands appear for no good reason in movies like that, like the Sparks in Earthquake or whatever it was.
I also was one of the places of I think it's there you go. The drunkest time I ever piloted anything, which was Pretty in Pink, After Party. They had the
rave-ups or something?
They didn't play. What they had was they had the Pretty in Pink party, after party, at the Palace. The premiere was up the street, the Grauman's Chinese or whatever it was. They had the Egyptian or something back then. And back then it was the Palace. It's kind of funny, actually, because I was standing sort of just in the crowd talking to Jimmy and talking to Dickie of the Boston's. And I said, I was here about 25 years ago seeing the – and then I all stopped right in the middle. I looked at Dickie and I said, oh, no, wait. Last time I was here, I saw the Boston's perform about 10 years ago. But I was there and told the story in the book. Yes.
Speaking of random bands and movies, the Boston's in Clueless playing, I think, our intro song.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what they were playing
in Clueless,
but they're definitely in Clueless playing the party. Went to the, and I don't know, this must have been 86, maybe 87. I don't know when Pretty in Pink was, but it's the time when I went there and my designated driver fell off, met a chick, took off. I was in my free booze. I don't know if you guys had a phase, but if something was free, you'd try to kill yourself with that substance.
Yep.
I'm meaning, like, when I was 22, if there was free eye booger night, I'd OD on someone's eye boogers just because it said free eye booger night.
It was actually always less popular than wing night.
Yes. Where'd You Go was the song the Boston's played. But to be fair to Brian, they all sound the same. Anyway, I was there. I remember I was drinking Greyhounds because I was health conscious. But I drank like
– gotta get your grapefruit juice
I drank like 21 Greyhounds. And the end of the night, I was literally there alone, and I was going to have to drive my car home, and I couldn't walk straight. Now, later on, I vomited in my bathtub. And always a fan of vomiting in the bathtub, by the way.
Just, not a bad place
to
vomit.
It's a higher percentage place to go for.
And you're not grabbing hold of a toilet bowl.
Probably safer place. But anyway, unless my buddy Ray's sleeping in it, and we vomit somewhere else, which would happen on occasion. But that's when, you know those... there's a part of me that wants to just hire a PI and go back and deconstruct things and figure things out and get to the bottom of many things. If you can show me a picture of the palace, you'll see it's on Vine. It's on a hill. I, of course, could not pay for valet parking. I, of course, parked up the hill. And up the hill at the time was a bank that was closed. And there was just a decent-sized parking lot. It's raining. It was teeming, pouring rain, and I stumbled out of the place. The place was all shut down. Everyone had gone home. I was insanely drunk, and I staggered up the hill, and I found my car, and it was my car parked alone in a parking lot with a driving rain, and I was wearing no raincoat and had no umbrella or anything, and the only other car in the parking lot was a cop car, which was parked right next to my car with the windows fogged over. I had no fucking idea why that cop car was parked there. I did not know. You can look at the picture. If you see the palace, you can see if you just sort of walk up the hill toward the freeway, it's like a parking lot up there. It wasn't one car away from my car. It was up against my car. And there were no other cars in the parking lot. And I just couldn't figure out, why would a cop be – is he getting a blowjob? Is he in the place? Is he staking the place out? Like, is he doing a thing where people go –
is he from Finland where they have different boundaries?
Yes. That all these things sprinted through my brain. And I kept thinking, is this something he does because he knows people go to this club at night and park up here and then show up shit-faced at 1 a.m. and then – but it was pouring rain. I realized I looked more suspicious standing at the mouth of this parking lot in the pouring rain wearing a ill-fitting jacket than I was in my car. And that's when I got in my car and nothing happened. But I realized I haven't started the car. Like, my windows are fogged. His windows are fogged. I'm half of me has to work the next day and wants just the fuck to get out of there. The other part thinks that if I turn the car over, he's going to hit his rollers the second I start the car. Because if I don't start the car, I can say, yes, I was drunk. I got to the car and I was going to sleep it off or something.
This is Hollywood 1985-ish, mid-80s.
Yes.
So he's probably seen a lot worse, expecting a lot worse. Knowing the cop, he probably was hoping to God you didn't start the car. It's like, oh, let's just let this go. Maybe he'll sleep it off or whatever.
I don't
maybe
know
if there's
he was getting a blowjob. Like, I don't know if he was in the car.
Windows are fogged.
Yeah, but sometimes when it rains, if it's just right, the windows are just fogged anyway. And sometimes in a car, especially at night. And by the way, my brain was fogged. Like, it was dark, it was raining, and I couldn't see in that cop car. Maybe he'd gotten out of the car. I don't know. Like, maybe he was up to... He was probably up to less good than I was, but I still didn't know what the fuck to do with myself.
That's what I'm saying. He probably wanted nothing to do with you starting your car.
Well, eventually I started the car. Eventually I backed out. Eventually I drove home. It was raining so fucking hard that you couldn't tell I was driving drunk because nobody could see. Like, the freeway was flooded and everyone was all over the fucking place. And
perfect scenario.
And I went and threw up my bathtub. Ah, another happy ending. Borrow.com, BORRO.com. You need cash. You need it fast. Where do you go? The bank? You max out your credit card? No, easier, smarter way, faster way to get cash wired to your accounts. Borrow.com. It's brilliant. Talk to these guys. Like these guys. They give you a great rate. You got something. You got a car, antiques, jewelry. They have a friendly agent. They will assess it. They'll give you the value of it, and then they'll loan it. They'll loan you the money against it. Borrow.com handles everything. They'll appraise it, items, and by the way, they'll get the cash wired right to your account. all in as little as 24 hours. That's Borrow.com, Dawson.
Even if you don't need cash today, try Borrow.com right now. Just see how it works. Pick any valuable item you own, go to Borrow.com, or call and chat with a Borrow agent. In minutes, you'll get a range of how much cash you can have wired into your account in 24 hours. That's Borrow.com, or call 888-995-7870, 888-995-7870, 888-995-7870.
All right, David Wild in studio, and now it's Graham Parker's birthday.
Happy Graham Parker birthday to you.
It's very exciting. And I brought a song that I love very much, but then David Wild brought a Graham Parker song that he loves very much.
Yeah, you know, he's...
And I like his song a lot.
Oh, thank you. Should I go first?
Yeah, I think we'll just play one song. We'll play your song.
I was going to say, this is not my Graham Parker song.
Yeah, we're sitting here with David Wild. Not much taller than a 10-year-old child.
I've gotten much taller
not
since.
Not the best looking guy in
and
the
better.
Place. Gallagher's hair, DeVito's face. Makes his pages for the Rolling Stone. A brilliant writer, the evidence shows. Writing books is also part of his game. If you hear a loud thud, he's just dropping names. Yeah, we're sitting here with David Wild.
You know, I interviewed Eddie Murphy this week, and I never dropped a name. Oh, oops, I just did.
Did you?
I did. I had the greatest interview with him. I'm going to share it with you soon, but great.
I
had the best time with him.
I cannot figure him out.
I had the best time with him. I'm going to I'll get this interview to you very soon. It's very
now. Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
To get to Eddie Murphy,
yes.
Lots of people to go through, hurdles.
Don't like white people.
To climb over, and then a list of questions that you can't ask him.
Not one bit of that. He asked me to come over and do this. So it was direct from him. I got there, walked in, hung out with him in a very, very beautiful house. With a very, very beautiful home studio for an hour and a half. And no one said what to ask. And he brought everything up I wanted to ask without me having to even push. It was really
so where,
open.
Where are we going to find this?
I think I'm giving it because he already did a little thing in Rolling Stone to Billboard. And it'll be on Billboard.com in the next few days.
Because he's always struck me as this really brilliant, kind of fucked up guy. Like, I can't figure out, like, him and Mike Myers, you know, like they're people. I'll put it to you this way: there are a lot of comedians that just feel like they hold everyone off at an arm's distance, and you never really know who
they're
they
constantly are. Constantly out of character.
I met him 15 years ago, and it was a different experience. And he was great. And he hasn't really. He said it to me. He hasn't been in a movie in basically 5 years. He was Tower Heist was. He goes. I did it like a week or two because he was a producer on it and. But he really has sort of he's actually focused on this music, which is really good. He's got a song that's actually on the radio now, an R&B radio. And I could play you something.
I'm angry at Tower Heist.
So are the investors.
They because Alan Alda, they said this is a 1964. This is Steve McQueen's 1964 Ferrari Lusso. Bought it at auction. 10 years ago for $1 million. I could sell it for 10 times. It was like Steve McQueen owned this car and raced this car. Like, he never raced that car. Lusso means luxury or long wheelbase or something. Like, it's not a race car at all. But that car, Steve McQueen's Lusso, did sell at auction, and it sold like 3 or 4 years ago, and it sold for like 2.3. They just fucked up the whole thing.
You're like the doctor who watches.
I think, the problem.
I think that was the problem, yeah.
That's what hurt.
2.3 in 2009. I don't know why.
In any case, back to Graham Parker.
Oh, Graham
back
Parker,
to Graham Parker.
Yeah.
But although Graham Parker. A song I picked was one that I kept asking him about when you remember, of course, our wonderful scene together.
Sure,
Graham and I, and this
I
is 40. We had 6 hours or 8 hours to not talk so that we could be heard because. The main scene was Paul Rudd and
room,
Lena
right.
Dunham and all
right.
that. And we had to be in the long shot. So I'm just like whispering questions like, Alec Wind album, my favorite song, you know, that sort of thing. This is my favorite song from that album.
Howling Wind's probably 77?
Early. It's one of the, yeah, it's very early, Graham.
76?
And it's a song called Between You and Me. It's like a 2-minute song. We could actually listen to the whole thing. I won't talk. So beautiful.
All I saw was a flash in my head, and that's all that's left between you and me. Oh yeah. Say that's all that's left between you and me.
It's a good live version of this song. It's out there somewhere too.
Next thing I knew, I was being carried out to sea. Somebody whispering, hey, what is wrong with me? Yeah. And that's all that's left between you and me.
People think of him as like New Wave or, you know. And he came out of something called pub rock. And it's sort of like white guys who could actually sing soul. And he's like a great white soul singer. Just inexplicably good.
Well, say, did you realize?
And this is kind of like Birdseed to me. Like a, and in fact, Roger McGuinn cut it a couple years later.
It's always in somebody's eyes when they really don't the want to say. All I knew was the storm crashing around. Nothing more, only silence, not even a sound. And that's all that's left between you and me. Left between you and me, uh-huh. And that's all that's left between you and me. Yeah.
It's amazing that guy this talented only has three fans, but they're Adam Carolla, Judd Apatow, and me. I know I don't really count, but those are two good fans to have. It makes for kind of empty audiences and shows.
I just picture myself living in my dad's garage in North Hollywood in 1981, listening to Graham Parker all the time and wondering why I never got laid.
The weirdest thing was when the Graham Parker and the Rumor reunited for the film, Judd said, come on over. It was like 2 or 3 days before I shot my scene, but he goes, just come watch this. And the weirdest thing was there was an audience of casted like 30-year-olds who fucking didn't know who he was, who had to be told, act excited, act excited. And in the back, there was Paul Rudd and Apatow and I going, like losing our minds.
Yeah, having to reel it in a little bit. Yeah, Howlin' Wind, I think. He said, is that out?
Yeah.
Probably 76. Gary,
that sounds right. And then Heat Treatment would have been like the next year or something like that.
Yeah. And then Squeezing Out Sparks, maybe something like that. Anyway, LifeLock, baby. Identity thieves, man. They're shrewd. They ain't the old school. You know, those guys you see on those alarm commercials kind of look like Dawson.
Right.
Kicking in the front door.
Clean cut, freshly shaven Dawson.
Yeah. Those guys, like after the party, coming back for a little dessert. Not those guys. These guys are shrewd criminals.
A little Savoy truffle.
They're going to steal. April 76 is when it came out. They're going to steal your identity, baby. LifeLock Ultimate, the most comprehensive ID theft protection ever created. Because I would say, and you guys should all just work it out this way. Statistically, when it comes to being a victim of crime, this is how you're going to be victimized. I mean, you live where we live, and you live in the time we live in, and you're not, you know, rolling around with the Crips and the Bloods and so on and so forth. Yeah. This is how most of us, this is going to be how we're going to be victimized.
You haven't been victimized this way? I have.
Oh, well now, you need LifeLock.
I need this LifeLock.
You need LifeLock Ultimate, baby. It's a new science in ID theft protection. Dawson.
LifeLock services can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member. So as a special holiday gift, LifeLock is offering Adam Carolla Show listeners 15% off your LifeLock Ultimate membership. Call or visit LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam15. That's promo code Adam15 for your 15% off holiday gift. Call 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030, 800-496-5030. Network does not cover all transactions and scope may vary. Offer ends 12/31/13.
All right. We have a little Bollywood. I say we take one phone call and then we get our movie review in, shall we? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk to Matt. Graham Parker.
Adam, thank you so much for taking my call.
63, by the way, as I recall. Matt, 44, Pennsylvania. What's going on?
Well, you inspired me, longtime fan of yours, first time caller.
Thank you.
You inspired me to start my own podcast, and I've been doing it for about 2.5 years now, and I have about 164 episodes in so far, and I do a long-form interview kind of format like you do when you have guests in there, because I love how, you know, you really allow time to let people open up about topics that don't usually come up on the late-night talk shows, and I try to follow, you know, that as closely as I can, and I'm just wondering about how to take that to the next level. You know, when you have a guy like me who nobody knows who he is, and you have a lot of celebrities starting podcasts and comedians and things have podcasts out there. So, you know, I was thinking about what would you have done in the early days? I know you did stand-up and you did radio, and now you're very successful with podcasting. But if you were just starting out now and you chose podcasting, what approach would you take?
Well, there's only one possible way to build an audience realistically, but I think it feels, I mean, what would you do if you started a restaurant? You know, first thing you do is you'd serve really good food. And then the next thing you do is every time somebody came in and said that lasagna was delicious, you'd say, please tweet a friend next time and bring them with you. And that's about all I can think of. I mean, you know, the one thing that is nice, here we are in 2013. We've not really figured out a way around a high-quality product. Audis were shit for a long time, and now Audis make a really good product, and thus they sell a lot of their product. They didn't sell so many when they were shit, and then it took a little period of time where people are like, weren't they shitty? And then somebody said, oh, no, they're good, and now they sell a lot of products. Pontiac used to sell quite a few products, and now they don't sell as many products because their products aren't as strong. You can say this for, you know, I was looking at, I was just watching the ticker on a news show I was watching, and it said like Chipotle, and I don't even know if they have Chipotle nationwide, but the stock was like $700 or something. It was like higher than Apple. And I thought, what are they doing? There's a Mexican food joint on every corner in Southern California. Well, and what are they doing? Beef and beans and rice and tortillas and, oh boy, look out, world. They're reinventing this whole thing called, do you want cheese? Do you want guacamole? I mean, it's all the same, but they figured out a way to up the quality a little bit. Everyone's friendly. You walk into that place, it's not, someone's come through the door. They do something where they tell people, be friendly, have a smile on your face. Offer consistent product, and next thing you know, they're opening another store, and the next thing you know, their stock is going up. Like, I don't feel like I've been hit over the head with Chipotle. I was driving home from, by the way, the word Chipotle didn't mean anything 5 years ago to me.
No, it was Chipotle.
Chipotle. I was driving home from, the only thing that was exciting about it is getting Dave Damashek to say Chipotle. I think I was driving home from San Diego, and we stopped, like, the gas up, like, halfway between, and then, let's try it out, you know? And it was good, and then they opened up, and word gets around.
Matt, I think that Adam is saying try to add salsa to your podcast.
Yes, I like the smoky stuff myself. By the way, Sheck is going to return very soon. He's busy doing some NFL stuff. People have been asking where the Shecks are.
Well, that's a good question. Do you think a super-duper high-quality product can exist undiscovered on the internet for a long time? Because I think that's the question. I think there's this idea that there's so much stuff out there that you could be super great and no one's going to find you and you're going to stay like that forever.
Yes. The first thing you need to do, whether you're a podcast, a Mexican food joint, or a band, or an artist, is be super great. Then the gods will decide if you end up being Graham Parker or John fucking Cougar fucking Mellencamp.
Now, you're not making any choice distinction there.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But now, I'm sure John fucking shitty Cougar fucking Mellencamp has made $10 billion more than Graham Parker. But Graham Parker's always going to make a living.
He was smart to make his name shorter.
But the first thing I know you need to do is be good. That much I know. There's not going to be any fooling anybody with these days.
Can I make a suggestion to Matt?
Yes.
One media thing, and maybe Allison could help you also. I was just working on something with a record industry guy named Jimmy Iovine, very famous, and he said build your story where you are. So one thing you could do is go to your local papers and ask them to – if you could do an article on a podcast grows in – I don't know what town in Pennsylvania you're in, but, you know, I don't – is it a big town or a small town?
Yeah, Bethlehem. I'm kind of halfway between Philadelphia and New York.
So I would go to every Bethlehem paper and ask if you can get someone to do an article on what it's like to try to do a podcast to build something nationally out of Bethlehem. And, you know, and that's a good – and then use social media, which is really the quickest way.
It's going to seem like a tremendous douchebag. It's like, I got a great story. Local boy makes good. Who are we talking about? Me.
This is a story set in the future? This is a fantasy?
This is about a local guy who's made good.
This is a screenplay you wrote.
Story about me.
It's a story, a short story, a novella.
It's called A Microphone and a Dream.
Adam, he doesn't have a team of publicists like you do working mm-hmm. around the clock to try to conjure up
that's true
situations of publicity.
Matt? Yes.
Would you like to interview David Wilde very quickly?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm sorry, that can't be accommodated. No. You can
well,
do it. Go ahead.
Offer.
Interview David. Ask David Wilde some questions about Eddie Murphy. I want to know about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. So how was it when you interviewed Eddie Murphy? Did you say you did it at his house?
I did it at his house. It was incredibly comfortable, loose. He actually played me a bunch of music and showed me some video. It was he was everything. Like, it's funny. I think one of my favorite Eddie Murphy movies is Bowfinger with him and Steve Martin, where he plays like the elusive superstar. And I think that he's been that guy, but he was in great form, Matt.
So gone are the days of when he lived in New Jersey, and Bubble Hill, I think, was the name of the unapproachable fortress that he had.
He lived next to my dad. Weirdly enough, my dad lived in – he lived in Englewood and also in Alpine, and he lived down the block from my dad. And weirdly, as elusive as he may have been in those days, he invited my old Jewish dad, businessman father, over for like a Christmas party. He was actually pretty nice to him. And I did. Oh, nice. I mentioned on the show here once to Adam about the Isaac brothers built a house next door to him, and they tried to build like this giant 300-room mosque-looking house, and they ran out of money and got into tax trouble. So there were little old Jewish ladies in the neighborhood throwing rocks trying to knock it down, and we had a good laugh about that.
Hey, Matt?
Yes, sir?
Not a bad job. How many listeners do you figure you have about now?
I have a few thousand downloads a month.
Mm-hmm. All right. You get those people to tell somebody, as we always say on this show, that's our form of advertising. You like it. You listen. Your coworkers listen. You turn them on to that. Parents, friends, family, all that good stuff. Just like DraftKings, baby. DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. It's fantasy football. And someone's going to be a millionaire. The winner of their millionaire grand final gets $1 million. It's a new fun way to play fantasy football. One day fantasy sports. Not the old drawn out long season. No, you have fun with it. You do it every day. What's going on there, Brad?
So remember I told you last week they're having a contest where you enter and the prize is not money or an entry to millionaire thing. It's you get a ticket to the World Poker Tour Championship at the
yes.
Bellagio.
Mm-hmm.
I entered for a couple bucks along with 160 other people. I'm in ninth place.
Wow.
Top five, get a ticket to the World Poker Tour Championships.
Oh, God, I would love that.
Oh, my God, wouldn't that be great?
I would fucking love to watch you do that. All right, Dawson.
Right now, Adam Carolla Show listeners get free entry into the Millionaire Grand Final. Enter Adam at DraftKings.com for your free shot to be crowned a fantasy football millionaire. But you got to enter Adam today at DraftKings.com. For details and your free entry, visit DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
All right, should we do some Baldywood?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen upon the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood.
I saw Ender's Game. Dawson would call it Hender's Game. Hender's Game is in theaters now. Yes.
What the fuck?
This is directed by Gavin Hood. He did X-Men Origins Wolverine a few years ago. It's starring a bunch of kids. Asa Butterfield. He was the kid in Hugo. I don't know if you guys saw Hugo. Good movie. A couple years ago. Haley Steinfeld from True Grit is in this. She's a little grown up now.
And
Abigail Breslin, who was Little Miss Sunshine. She's in this also, along with Harrison Ford, Viola Davis, and Ben Kingsley.
Did Harrison Ford want to be there?
It's very hard to tell these days with Harrison Ford.
I know.
I don't think he's... I hate to be ageist, but I don't think he's comfortable just... I think this movie is surrounded by green screen. I don't think there were very many real things around them. Mm-hmm. Maybe their clothes, but there's a lot of green screen.
Right.
He looks uncomfortable.
I like it when they explain how difficult it is because they go, you know, that T-Rex isn't really in the room with you. You have to pretend. And it's like, right, Tom Hanks didn't really have AIDS, but he had to pretend.
That's sort of the definition of acting.
Sort of acting's a lot of pretending. Yeah. You're not actually, especially.
Plus, it would be more difficult if a dinosaur really were there.
Yeah.
That would be.
You got to talk to PETA and get a dinosaur
right. You're not really going to become Abe Lincoln. You're just going to pretend to be one of the Kennedys or Abe. That's called acting. Understood.
This is adapted from a novel by Orson Scott Card that I have not read. So maybe some things in the film are clear to those who are familiar with the book. I know Gary, I think, liked the book and the movie. So this is just going off what I saw in the film. So here's the story. About 75 years from now, Earth is attacked by aliens, and they decimate,
You mean from outer space aliens or like Gabriel Iglesias aliens?
Unclear. Mm-hmm. They allude to it being outer space aliens. Mm. We're attacked, and they kill tens of millions of people. We narrowly defeated them when one of our hero pilots flew his plane into their mothership, like Battlefield – or not Battlefield Earth.
Independence Day
style, yes, right into the thing. And defeated them. Now it's 50 years later. And we've decided that kids are our best hope, and we need to train kids to lead the preemptive attack on the aliens just in case of next time. It's unclear because – it's unclear why because the kids are thrust into battle right away in this world. So I don't know why we're training kids for the future. It's kind of like the future is now. But regardless, it's like Pacific Rim meets Harry Potter. That's a very apt description, I would say.
The whole alien thing, there's something in all of us that – we were talking about savory earlier. There is that thing in all of us that just feels like there's got to be something out there. They got to be eyeballing us. And I know they want Florida.
Yeah.
They're coming for Florida. I know they're fucking eyeballing us. They want our shit.
First Florida.
Yeah,
then they're
right.
Probing our butts.
That's right. They want something. They want what we got. And eventually, in some
Florida
point,
is the butt of America. So
yeah,
it's true.
They're gonna knock over the Statue of Liberty and fuck up the Hollywood sign. That's what they want.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the first thing you would do in a new land?
It's a sort of global version of what we
they
were sort
go
of
to
talking
Amoeba
about
and they
earlier.
Catch a movie at the ArcLight.
Yeah, they're looking. They're eyeballing us. They want our shit, and they want to enslave us. And they're coming after us. Yeah, because it never as a. Again, it's like teenage girls with a good-looking guy clamping down on their neck. Mm. There's no generation that goes,
next.
There's always a 14-year-old that's intrigued by that notion, right? There's always I'm trying to think of the genre, but since what I'm saying is you know, we had Westerns, and then when Westerns sort of burnt out, and then they burnt out, and they went away for 25 years, and then it kind of trickled back a little. But the whole doing battle with the alien thing has never gone away. So
it's like the an earliest theme story and that's timeless.
Keep going.
Yeah, this is a big summer movie for November. Had this come out in the summer, I think it would have been somewhere towards the middle in terms of quality. Not awful, but not great either. Here's the biggest problem. The entire movie is training exercises and simulations. That's 98% of the film. It's like if you're going to see Friday Night Lights and all they do is scrimmage. They never actually play a game.
Right.
And then I will say for the people who've seen it and like it, there's a cool twist at the end that kind of reveals some. It is a good twist. I won't reveal it, obviously. But it kind of. Here's the problem. It's supposed to change the way you feel about the movie, but you've already seen the movie, so you already feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's a long way to go for above average twist.
All right.
If you're a fan of the book, you'll like the movie. But haven't read the book, you could do a lot better. I say rent Pacific Rim or better yet, Elysium, which I liked a lot. If you think this looks good, those would be better movies that you'll like.
All right.
C+. And not C+. Terrible, but...
All right. All right. Yeah.
Hooray for Baldywood.
I don't know where you guys are at. I don't like reading, so that's me. But then I don't like the crazed fantasy. I always feel like there's so many cool, interesting stories out there that I just want to hear all those stories. And you just can't, the documentaries, but even the stuff based on a true whatever. Or there's just so much out there that the crazed fantasy on the, you know, the seven novels that came before it. I mean, I remember as a kid with the whole Hobbit stuff and all that. I just remember when, what the fuck is this for?
Does time travel interest you at all?
I you know, anything done well interests me. I just don't, the full-blown fantasy stuff in the series of books, you read as a kid. I don't know why. I just
what if
never...
you could be here and in IKEA at the same time having
savory
ribs.
Something yeah. savory. Yeah, but like, I couldn't get it. Here's what I couldn't get into. I couldn't get into comic books at all. Comic books are like, what the fuck is that for? And then, but I never got into baseball cards. And I love sports, but cards about sports seem to be the opposite of sports.
If there was a John Hyatt comic book, I think he would have been way
into Graham
that.
Parker, you know, you take over the world. No, what I'm saying is like, yes, I love playing sports, but reading cards and statistics on guys who play sports almost feels like the opposite
of
sports to me.
And as someone who enjoys neither, I think collecting baseball cards is a different endeavor entirely. It's a different part of you than the thing that plays sports.
It's a sports agent.
It lets you become a sports agent. Eventually.
And the guys who play sports have none of the jock guys I knew had any interest in collecting anything except for pussy pelts.
Wow.
That's
pussy
right.
pelts?
That's right.
Hang them on their wall.
Mm-hmm.
Make a shawl.
Collect and trade. There was some trading. All right.
This will be an interesting experiment because your kids are not too far away from getting into the whole. They're in a couple years. Sonny is going to be the right age for Ender's Game. You know what I mean?
Oh he's already got his like Pokemon trading cards
the next
and
step,
shit
man.
Like that.
You're going to be forced to watch these movies.
Fuck no, that's what booze is for. All right, let's see. Adam Ray is out there, comedian Adam Ray, good friend Adam Ray. We'll bring him in a second. Us Hooters. Downtown this Sunday, David Alan Greer, Float On.
Oh
you guys have been wanting it. Now you're going to get it. David Alan Greer, 4:30, free. Come on in free. Also, Santa Monica, free on Sunday, December 1st and at the Hooters. Come on in. Have a little mangria. Say hi. Yeah, and like that there. We got some new hats and some new T-shirts, some new logos and all that kind of stuff. And you can go to adamcarolla.com/store. So if you want to check that out. We'll take a quick break. Oh, I'm sorry. David Wild, I don't have your stuff in front of me. Wild About Music, where do we go?
Let's just go with Wild About Music. Let's get me back to 30,000 for Hanukkah. I think that's a good mission.
Mm-hmm.
Help the under 30 list.
I agree. And Adam Ray, in next.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I had something that touched me a lot. I love Batman and I love Superman, but this week I saw pictures of someone named Bat Kid, and I'll tell you all about it here. Check us out at LarryMillerPodcast.com.
Presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Gainesville, Texas. A 31-year-old man was struck by lightning twice after taking shelter under a tree at a mudding and off-roading event. The man was employed as a rodeo clown. Definitely not a Jew.
Adam Ray in studio.
Oh, my God.
Always good to see Adam.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
At Harlan's Williams Place, watching some MMA fights some months back, and then doing stand-up at this car thing and coming on the show. Always a delight.
Thanks, buddy. Brought you in. Now you can see me in the your brand-new copy of The Heat on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes, The Heat is one of those movies where when I saw the commercial, I kind of went, okay, not another one. And then people...
Not another Shanghai Nights.
Yes, and people kind of started saying, oh, no, it's a funny movie.
I had the exact same reaction when I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, I know exactly where this is going, and it was a really funny movie.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to be watching
that. I really liked it, too.
Adam, by the way, can be found, well, he's got his podcast about last night, Brad Williams, our good friend Brad Williams, available on iTunes, and doing some stand-up comedy. The Tacoma Comedy Club. That's coming up November 21st through the 23rd. And then Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank out here on 29th. So what is the schedule when you do like the 21 through the 23rd when you're doing stand-up?
That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday?
Yeah.
One Sunday?
No Sunday. I've only done a couple weekends where I've done the Sunday. I've done two weekends where they've been three shows on Saturday. Have you ever done that? Is bananas.
Yeah.
It's like the midnight show, and both were like decently attended, but the people are just It's just I've done so many like bar shows or college to deal with that, but man, they're bringing a different energy of just like
midnight.
Yeah,
the midnight show, people are getting sloppy, fucking drunk.
Yeah, most of them are dying in car crashes on the way home.
And, well, not most, but 40%.
Sure.
Yes, at least. And
they just yell out weird shit, too. Like, they'll just be like, talk about this. Or one of them will just, say, make fun of my buddy Kyle. I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah, what's for what? For picking you as a friend? Like, what do you want me? Like, and he's like, nah, he's just always, like, doing gay shit. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, it's Kyle.
Yeah, you know,
fucking
like, but they
Kyle,
expect,
such a fuck up, man.
Yeah, dude, but they get to that place of drunkenness where they just expect, they think that that's the type of show that they walked in for, which I guess
I it was probably the second or third show in San Francisco when the super drunken chick got torn out of
that
the place.
That was you.
That was me, yeah. And that was, had a run of three shows at Cobb's in San Francisco on a Thursday night, and then three shows Friday night and three shows Saturday night in Seattle,
Jesus.
Kirkland, Washington. It's three nights. And that's when I was stupid. I'd do 100 minutes a show.
Oh,
like,
God,
I didn't know. Like, I thought, well, you got to give them at least 90 minutes. Otherwise, they're going to get pissed off. There's no opener and there's no middle. So it was just 300-minute shows back to back to back.
How are you feeling by that last one?
I was fine. Yeah. I could
rally. You figure it.
He's wised up, and now he does personal sets for people in their living rooms.
Right.
That's right. I give it to 45
gotta
minutes.
Got to give the kids what they
now,
want.
Now, how much time are you doing?
I do. You know, I know it's like 45-minute minimum, but I like to do I do at least 50, and then I don't like to get greedy though. Like I have, like there's been this last. I was just in Bloomington, Illinois, this past weekend. Where exactly?
Mm-hmm.
And but the crowds were awesome, and the one of the shows they. On Saturday was the last one. They were just so – I did maybe an hour 10. But, like, even then I feel like I'm – I don't want to – you know, I know some people are just like, I did like an hour and 40 minutes and they were loving it. But it's like, I don't know. I'd rather keep them
I should have done
back.
That.
I
yeah.
don't know. But, I mean, it's tough sometimes if a certain crowd is just better than the rest of them. You don't want to get off, right?
Well, the late night crowd is insanely drunk, or any place in Canada.
Yeah.
Is usually, as I found out in Vancouver, insanely drunk.
Yeah.
And
they were hammered. Like, they took me to these this bar called Six String, which was like a Western bar, which I'd been to a couple of those. Like, they had the Mechanical Bull. That's what sold me. So I was like, oh, I can go have some drinks and watch girls fall off. Dude, I saw some of the most, that should be true TV show, like people violently fall. Like, the guy is just fat dude eating burgers, turning the dials. He's just holding people's fate in their hand. These people were violently getting thrown off this bull. Like, picture like a – to where, and they have the – you know, the like almost like bumpers for a bowling alley on the outside for people to bump into.
Right.
But like, that's not really protecting them.
Well, also this notion of let's eat – let's eat a lumberjack stack of baby back ribs. Then let's do 8 Jaeger shots. Then let's get on this Barca lounger that's pneumatic and can throw us 20 feet in the air.
Yeah.
It's just like the worst combination ever. Like, it's the kind of thing.
Wilmington.
You're not dressed for it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, you're falling out of everything.
The guy would make a difference. Well, I'm dressed for it. Let's go.
I'm just saying.
Helmet.
It's the kind of thing I could think if I got up and had a power bar. A cup of coffee and some stream water, and then was able to stretch.
An 8 months training.
Stretching
is the key that nobody
stretched really
about.
Well, yeah. And put on some sensible sweatpants and a sweat jacket and wore some running shoes. I could see myself attempting this, but being shit-faced and filled with ribs and Jägermeister and wearing my New Religion jeans, as I'm apt to do. And
well, they just make your butt look so good.
Well, you know what makes them look good is the ostrich skin boots, which put me up another three.
Wow.
That doing a thing so I can either – there's some point where you're going to land and you're going to crush your orbital socket by your own kneecap.
Hey, but you like, got a great story to tell.
That's the part where you're fucking – what happened to your orbital socket? My right knee crushed it. Like, that's bad news,
riding
right?
Riding a bull. Oh, you used to be in a rodeo? No, no. It was just that bar. It was fucked up.
I mean, it's not a real bull. I mean, you can't fuck it.
Because
one dude did get pretty fucked up and make a run at it.
You would have to make a run at it if we're talking about how to fuck a bull at this
point. Well, it depends. Because I found if you grease the palm of the guy who's operating it, he can kind of look the other way. You know?
He'll do that big
yawn move. Well, I'm going to go hit the bathroom and have a smoke. Does anyone need anything? All right, I'll take 10. And that's when you come up on the back of the mechanical
bull. That's when you take control.
That's right.
It was funny. There was a girl, really attractive girl who was on it, and she was so drunk though, and she had a tough time getting on, and then she kind of fell off before he even started. And I go to him, I go, hey man, you're gonna give her a chance to get back on, right? And he turns around and looks at me and just goes, what are you, gay? He goes, obviously I'm gonna let her get back on, she's hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay man, just trying to look out for her.
There's definitely going to be some thong back involved here at some point. You get that mechanical bull going.
Yeah.
But are and you why gay is an interesting thing to ask in that scenario,
totally.
Though, because you looking out for her suggests you're gay because she's hot.
No, I think
he was like
seeing her skirt flying over her head.
Yeah, I think he was like, what do you think? I don't want to let people like let her get thrown off and let her like try to ride this thing that'll exude sexual
feelings. Feel like that area in terms of the there's got to be a fucking cleanup aisle yak. Over there with the vomit comet bull. Oh, I mean, there should be people yakking all the time.
Sure.
And is that just the barback's job? Is there a special vomit scooper?
Rodeo clown comes running out. But I mean, like, I would build that mechanical bull. I would put a drain in the slab and a hose bib because that shit. I mean, just throwing up around that much styrofoam padding and stuff and crevasses and, you know.
That's not going to smell well.
Not a good thing, right? So did you ride the bull?
No, I didn't. I didn't get drunk enough. Also, it was like I watched enough. And also after my interactions with the captain with the turndials, I was like, all right, I don't trust what he's about to do to my life. So,
yeah. I also feel those guys are probably like the Blue Angel guys, which is if they get some guy up there and they don't fuck him up, they're not doing their job.
Oh, exactly.
Like you if you fly with the Blue Angels, they're going to make you throw up. You know what I mean?
Now,
climbing into a fucking cockpit, something the size of a smart car, and then your job is to get chubby celebrity to yak in my smart car, otherwise I'm going to get made fun of when we get back to the parking lot. It doesn't seem like a great plan for the guy who's trapped in there. It's not like he can crack the window.
Yeah, joke's on you.
It is.
Well, like, among other things.
Like, I would say to my Blue Angel guy, like, you know, by all means, let's have some fun up here.
Yeah.
But if you get me to yak, you can either punch out of this thing or just breathe my yak until we land. There's not like you're going to fucking open the wind wing of your F-18 and hang your head out going like, oh, fuck, come on, man. It's brutal, dude. Get out, you know? I mean, you're just trapped. There's no...
Yeah, you're yakking in the cabin or directly into his mouth, baby bird style.
Right. We could be inverted or doing some outer whatever and the thing could just be splatting against the canopy. Like, I think I would tell that guy... I ate Hungarian. Yeah, here's how you fuck a bull.
You know
what would work? Here's what I think would work. I think a casual conversation with the guy.
Sure.
Because these guys, these pilots, they're pretty straight-laced dudes, you know? And they're probably burgers and fries guys.
Totally.
But I bet if you brought up, like, Indian food to them, they'd be like, ugh, fucking curry. Makes me nauseating. You go, really?
Guess what's for dinner?
Went to... The New Delhi. It's the new New Delhi. They will just open a new Delhi. And I just fucking ate a ton of curry food.
Everything.
I ate a fucking ton of Indian food, a ton before I came here. So if you don't want that in your, I feel like they take it a little easy on the yo.
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone should find out what their kryptonite is.
I'll guarantee that every one of those guys has a kryptonite as a food. I bet you Indian food. I bet those guys hate Indian food because they're that American.
What about what about a different text saying, like, boy, if I have one fault is that I am a really generous tipper. I mean, if I have had a good experience, I am just apt to throw money around at people for showing me a good time.
I don't think they're allowed to take tips. Oh, I don't think they're. But in the cool uniform department, the Blue Angels.
Yeah.
Tight jumpsuits.
Fuck yeah.
Boots.
Yeah.
Boots that zip with the zipper on the side. I like that guy. It's like, do you want convenient? Do you want support? Like, what do you want? No, I want boots, and they're going to have a zipper on the side, and then laces on the front.
Yeah, it's the shit.
And
they're just missing goggles, otherwise look like double.
Oh, they're wearing the aviator glasses.
Yeah,
they're wearing that. They're wearing that weird cap where it's got to be off. Just a little bit. It's really the only time a white guy can pull off with the cap. You know what I mean?
It's a great
white
point.
Guy can't do that with a baseball cap.
No.
He can't do it with a beret, but he can do it with that cap. I don't even know what that cap is, but it can fold up and go right up your ass. Like, literally, you can store it nowhere. Sun visor's good enough to store that. What is that hat called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That it's a naval.
Yeah, it's like a naval cadet.
Flat. It like tucks into their belt when they're not. Find me the Blue Angel.
It's the fedora before the fedora. It's like a more
pre-fedora.
It's a hat. It's got a little fast food in it.
There it is.
Like, it's got a little of that McDonald's kind of cap.
Is it like what Payne Stewart used to wear?
Yeah, it's like, I might It definitely has a little bit of, like, I might fly a plane at a fair, or I might make you a fucking milkshake.
Right.
Yeah.
I work at the Steak and Shake kind of hat. I got to figure that hat out. Find me the Blue Angels outfit guy. There it is, but it's not.
Ooh,
it,
you could turn it upside down and use it as a boat. Boat.
That's a doughboy hat, isn't it?
He's got it fully opened. I need some head to toe on these dudes. But it's a great.
I think flight attendants a long time ago might have worn something similar to that. Askew.
Love those.
Yeah, they got to get back to those days.
So those are like pillbox hats, right?
Greatest gig. Oh yeah, pillbox. I miss. All right. Speaking of box, Nature Box, baby. Hungry? Middle of the day? Want a snack? Don't want to get a bunch of orange stuff all over your little fingers over there? They've brought us. These guys make just super high quality, high nutrition snacks. Chris Maxipata devours all of them over here. It's the problems we never really get. I mean, what I have. I was eating the almonds the other day.
The chia seed crackers are good, too.
Yeah, those are good. The almonds are great. They got
like cinnamon almonds or something.
Mm-hmm. And blueberry.
Yeah, I like that combination.
French toast granola, salted caramel pretzel pops.
Jesus.
Dark cocoa almonds. Yep, me too.
I mean,
hey, move over. Tell the bull you're in your refractory period. Designed to leave you full and totally healthy. Zero trans fats, no high fructose corn syrup, and nothing artificial. Just like if the smartest person you knew designed a vending machine, this is what would come out of it. Super high nutrition snacks. And you can try Nature Box, and you get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com, use the promo code Adam, or click the Nature Box banner at adamcarolla.com. Try it. Take my word for it. Ah, there they are. Look at that. Wearing the boots and the jumpsuit with the stripe on it and the cap. I mean, that's a hell of an outfit. All right. Yes.
I mean, you ever see that movie Blue Chips with Nick Nolte?
Yes.
They look like maybe like if they had a mascot, if they were like the cadets or something, that would be.
Yes. Shaquille O'Neal in that movie,
that's
right?
Like Penny Hardaway.
Underrated, right? Never really pops
Super
up
underrated.
On.
No.
I don't see it on cable
very
often.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
All right. Should we do a little news, Allison Rosen?
Yes.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with Zip It Cunt. It's Allison.
Crazy weather currently in the Midwest. You were just there, right? Did it affect you?
It kept me in Bloomington for another 6 hours. I caught my flight in Detroit by maybe 3 minutes. Had to run Home Alone style from one end of the airport to the other and then get there at the front just panting. And they just look at me and they're like, well, congratulations. Now you're a member of the Delta Health Club. I was like, you trying to make a joke? They're like, yeah, you got to enlighten the moment.
Are you doing an Asian stereotype?
It's my Asian. Again, my impressions, Adam, of
Asian people.
That is so
offensive to our Asian community.
Spot on. It was terrible, though. The tornadoes, they told me at one point I was going to have to go into a shelter, which I assume just to hide
for
from the tornado.
For battered men or because of the tornado? Are we shifting gears here?
It was what I did. My segues into domestic abuse are not.
Not clean at all.
Clean.
I thought you were in an airport here.
A multi-state outbreak of tornadoes. So there's damage in several states, including Missouri, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois. I think it's the worst in Illinois.
Let me just say, I did not feel safe in my Fairfield Inn at all.
No.
I mean, hail just pounding.
Yeah, I mean, what did it look like? Out the window.
No joke, the craziest storm I've ever seen. Like, I mean, it was the amount of rain. Like, it looked like, I thought it was hail, and then it was just hard balls of rain. And I was
Adam
like, well, that's a new piece of
told
weather.
Told me candidly off the air he was this close to not beating off first third time. this close
hey,
because of that weather. He did not feel safe at all.
Hey, man, when you feel like, you know, some sort of little, you just got to ride it.
Yeah.
Well, you're soothing yourself. Mm-hmm. Comforting.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Also, you have to do something, to kind of like make yourself feel like you're not going to.
And being at the Fairfield Inn, the TV that you cannot control, you don't have dominion over. It used to be a push. Like, I had a 22-inch color TV at home with a remote, and then when you travel, there would be a 22-inch color TV with a remote. Now, your TV is 50 inches, and it's filled with all your shows. Then you go on, and you're on the road, and you're watching local this or ESPN3, or just the weird thing of being at the mercy of the TV set.
They give you the last channel of every option. Like you said, ESPN3 or MTV6,
right,
which isn't even out yet, but like they're already giving it to you.
Right. And
so, shit.
Yeah, and
remote takes hours to like figure out when you press like 2. It's
five. The delay.
Oh, the delay too.
Oh, and is it 2 or is it 02? Could we please decide on that in the remote?
Is it 002?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. Yeah. And then I know I love the first world problem.
Yeah, but
and then there's always some fucking wiseacre goes like, you got an iPad? And I go, yeah. And I go, we just watch greatest Super Bowl highlights on your iPad. And it's like, the fucking screen is 8 inches. It's too small. Yeah. It's not. No, I want a big TV.
Well, let's talk about this one, because this happens to me repeatedly. You accidentally hit menu thinking that'll give you the channel guide.
Right.
But it doesn't. It gives you that thing where it's like movies, hotel info, checkout.
Sure. Right. Yeah. And there's that big red bar at the top where it's like, oh, this should be power, but it's not the power. And then there's the one where you're trying to point. And then there's the one where you're rolling. The greatest attack ever, I think we had this when we were in New York last, is when you check in and they don't fucking tell you that unless you put this card into this slot, that, by the way, will be behind the door when you open the front door. Will be hidden behind it. Nothing in this room will work. And you walk in and plop down and you grab the remote and you do the thing and you go, oh, fuck with the batteries. And then you undo it and roll the battery, do the thumb roll. That'll do it.
And the lights aren't working?
Then you get – well, the thing that's weird is you check in – we checked in at like 4 p.m, so it was that point where you didn't need to turn the lights on. And if you just walked in and plopped down onto the bed, you pick up the remote, but you wouldn't turn the lights on if the windows shades were open. So it's that weird. And then you start doing that. I don't know how many hours I have tied up into the. Am I supposed to point this at the TV? Because the box is over there.
Yeah.
Do you point it at the box or at the TV? Wouldn't it be great if there was just some sort of universal set of fucking TV hotel rules that were just all...
Yeah, they sound like problems that should be happening in like 1988, like not in 2000.
Yes, and you said you're in Detroit.
Yeah,
when
I was in Bloomington, then got to Detroit.
When I was in Detroit, they do that same thing all the time. So you turn the TV on, and what you'd like it to be is on the station it was on last, but it always reboots and just goes to the front.
Goes to the hotel like, welcome back to the Fairfield, where we've got, you know, massages and
the worst was
cereal.
Marriott. The Marriott in Detroit does the stay at some of our other fine locations, Diamond Head,
here the
Bally,
ones.
Australia. And you're like, I'm in Detroit. I'm looking out the fucking window of my room. It's snowing.
At a closed
There's a
Wendy's.
Fat guy smoking outside by a vending machine. And the billboard that I can see that's off the freeway, I'm on the third floor, is of a missing kid. And I'm looking at that while they're doing the helicopter view of Diamond Head, you know, and I'm like, Fucking wish I was at one of those places. And no, I won't stay at one of those places when I'm there. Fucking, you should never do that. You should never go, here's, I mean, it's like a restaurant going, we don't have this, but here's what you could be eating. Surf and turf. We have grilled cheese. Sorry. Yeah, you're not going to get that.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
So 6 people died in Illinois. One person has died in Michigan. 200 people were injured throughout Illinois. About 400 homes have been damaged in Washington County alone. And in Washington, in Washington, Illinois, the storm is rated as an EF4 with winds of up to 190 miles an hour. And about 600,000 customers are without power in the hardest hit states.
Yeah. They shut the airport down in Detroit for a little bit and in Bloomington. And you know what's the panic in airports when they shut down is really like incredible, because people are now like trying to figure out how to get from where they're supposed to get to, and like there's arguments happening over like the one Starbucks that like is closed because they're like, well, I thought they had the lot, just all sorts of, and people are so thirsty for information that like I heard somebody go tell a group of people that had no idea what was happening. They were like, so what's going on? And he was like, well, apparently when lightning strikes, they have to wait 20 minutes before they even like reassess the situation. This guy had no idea what the fuck that meant. But he was now all of a sudden like this local hero.
He's a shaman so who comes down from the mountain.
Oh, it's amazing. They were so just like, oh, what else, lightning god, you know?
Yeah.
And so that I heard that and found myself in a similar situation, like maybe a half hour later, all these sweet old women sitting around just being like, well, I don't know if we're ever going to make it, and blah, blah, blah. And like, Ruth, the party's at 4. We're supposed to get. We're going to get there at 9. Like, we're not even going to make the party. I'm over.
Asian stereotype.
I can't help it, man. It's my best accent.
You know, though, the thing about the airport is I feel, first off, we have all, when we go to an airport, we all become cats, and this is our living room. Like, there's no place we can't stretch out.
People are laying outside of the bathrooms.
People are like fucking
free to step over.
Just feet, just shit kicked off, spread out on the tile.
When did this become a couch?
I'll make a pillow out of my windbreaker and lay right in front of the urinals. Like, it's the weirdest thing ever. Like, I don't know where else we would feel this level of comfort
in front of strangers. Just, like, you wouldn't lay on your suitcase at home.
Could you imagine being at a Sears and going, I'm just going to fucking, honey, you shop. I'm going to bivouac in the Husky section. I'm just going to make a makeshift bed out of my fucking jacket. I'll take my shirt off and kick my shoes off, and I'll just put my feet up on some shit, and I'll just spread out.
That's
so first off, everybody at the airport, that is just their personal futon. Like, the guys, it used to be a little bit of, well, I'll sit up on this chair, and maybe I'll put my feet up on the chair, row chairs in front of me.
Sure.
I'll kick it down to the socks, but no bare feet, but I'll stay up off the ground. Now people just laid out, just sprawl out all over the fucking floors.
And not even trying to contain the body.
No.
Like, the limbs are stretched out
as
if they're free-falling.
Right. They're trying to slow themselves down from terminal velocity. Terminal velocity. Yes, it used to be like an element of, I'm going to kind of hide over here so people don't. Now it's just people just fucking spread out, just bivouacked everywhere. There's a million different food outlets. There's a million different, you know, you can get a massage, you can get your boots polished and all that kind of shit. And I just feel like it's just become a flop house for rich people, essentially. Like, you don't see Whitey flopping out.
No.
Like, well,
that's why they have the hotels and like the clubs inside the airport, in some of these airports, right? Like, so you don't have to fucking stretch out like a peasant, like you on a cheeseburger wrapper. You can like sit in a massage chair.
But I don't know that there's any other public space where you would be comfortable watching people sleep, watching you sleep, especially since I get a boner half the time I fall asleep. But guys are getting almost undressed.
Does that happen
and
in
just,
the daytime,
just,
too?
For
half
the time.
It can.
It doesn't know time.
Yeah, you go on your belly. There's no, you know, that's a coin toss.
Why is that guy propped up?
Is he doing
it's just
ab
weird,
workouts?
Though. Like, every time I go to the airport now, someone's just sleeping.
Yeah.
If I were a bum, I'd just move to the airport.
That's a fucking great
You don't
idea.
Have to go anywhere. No one ever questions you and
look
go, why are you sleeping?
Because, because people also aren't like incredibly presentable there. Like, you could just make sure you don't always smell like shit.
Right.
And then,
well, you got bathrooms, and some of those bathrooms now, they have like the little shower zones
and
workout zones
too,
and stuff like that.
Are moving too quick to get to their, where they got to go next. They don't have the time to stop and go, hey, man, do you have a job? Or like,
no one ever sees a guy sleeping going, are you waiting for a flight or are you just here sleeping? You just,
right. You
the
assume.
Same guy could be there the next time you're there. You'd be fine. Like, this guy's just horrible luck with his flights.
Hey, Tom Hanks did it in Terminal.
That's right. I was in the men's room and saw a guy just sprawled out on one of those koala baby changing table things. full-size guy.
Was he changing himself?
Just draped over the top of it.
When I got back,
I'm gonna go to the airport, get some sleep.
When I got back into LAX, the bathroom, by the way, at the airport is like it can be also like a danger zone. I go into the bathroom, all the stalls were urinals.
Said it.
All the urinals were taken up, right? So the stalls were open. I just had to pee, right? So I feel like that's hey man, this shouldn't be a problem. Should we judge me? I go in there, and start peeing. All of a sudden, I feel a presence behind me. There's a dude, and I just hear what the fuck, and I go. I turn around like, and he's, dude, no joke, like 2 feet from me. And he goes, what the fuck, man? He goes, fucking just going to sit in there and fucking piss. People got a shit, man. You're fucking pissing in the stall, man. I go, dude, all the urinals are taking. And why are we fighting? You're in my stall, man. I go, what
dude,
are you, some bathroom?
There doors on the stalls?
Yeah, but he'd opened it.
Wow.
I didn't lock it because I'm thinking, okay, like people do the check. They also do the feet. There's many ways to check. You can check the feet. You can kind of peer around. You can see that all the,
over the top.
Smell test.
See all the urinals are full and assume that probably the stalls are full too. And that's why people have started a line, you idiot.
Right.
So he goes, and he stands there and goes, you fucking don't even have to shit, man. You're just going to piss all over the seat. I go, first of all, dick, I lifted the seat. And even if I did piss on it, I'd wipe it off, man, because I'm a good person. And he goes, oh, all right, man. Fucking, I got to shit. Now I got to go fucking wait to shit. I go, what are you, some bathroom bully? Like, what are you doing in here? And he was like, man, just fucking people like you doing this shit all the time. Walks out. He had like a little starter Fila jacket on, man, like a Miami Dolphins helmet or hat and like a goatee. And they walk out and he walks out alongside. I go, hey, thanks for the little pep talk in there, man. He goes, fucking fuck that, man. Fuck people that are shit and you're pissing.
Wow.
So, hey, I never run into anything like that in my entire life.
It was Richie Incognito.
Yes,
wow.
It was Danny Glover.
We always say, you know, there's a part of me that is dying to be these guys, and then there's part of me would kill myself, but then there's part of me is wildly jealous, but I could
all
never...
All I could do was laugh because
I could
it was
never
so
imagine.
Bizarre.
But, I mean, would you ever sneak up behind a guy while he's taking a piss and begin this whole tirade? That's awful.
Like, I almost thought like I was maybe just going to get like, you know, some guys will come up and push dudes when they're peeing just to, like a little bit because it just...
Yeah, my friends do it.
Yeah,
so you pee on yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny.
I thought maybe that was going to happen. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It will never stop being funny.
No. There's a lot of... I've always said...
He scolded me.
A lot of offloading going on at the airport because... And it's a combination of a time change, bad food on the airplane, nervous stomach.
Yeah. Who knows where he came from?
But also, I do feel like people treat the shitter at the airport like they treat the rental car, which is not on... This ain't my car. This is not my home turf.
Totally.
I know... That people go into LAX and just shit it up in that place, but it's not their home turf. They don't live there. It's not the people who live in
totally.
LA. There's an element of I'm never
local pride.
I'm never going to see this toilet again.
Right. It's like it's why people go. It's why people go to like Bangkok and go whoring. You know what I mean? It's like no one I went to high school with. Like I'm not going to run into someone familiar here.
Sure.
There's an element of how you treat. I've always felt this way about L.A. L.A. is particularly trashy. Like, there's just a lot of trash in L.A. For a big metropolitan rich city, it's weird and trashy. And I always felt like the reason it's weird and trashy is because everyone here is from Chicago, New York, Houston. Like, everyone's from somewhere,
right.
Came here, and they treat this like the chick they're banging in between the one they're going to marry and their last serious girlfriend from high school. Like, just, I'm going to experiment.
Yeah.
And
just Angela Lansbury's life story, pretty much.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all she was for so many dudes.
They're going to fuck up that bathroom. And LA's that way. But I've walked into the bathrooms at airports and went like, what is going on in here?
Yeah, dude.
Like, this is horrible.
Oh, do you ever just break into the Family Fun Center or the Family Fun bathroom, the one that's like designed for families and diaper changes?
Sometimes I've
been
seen
so...
that one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, what the hell are we talking about? Oh, yeah. Horrible tornadoes. Enzyte, baby. You want a month free? You want a month's free erections? I can give them to you. Enzyte. My good friends at Enzyte. Millions of men are dealing with erectile quality, and they're stepping it up. It's not the quantity.
How long
the
they last
quality.
For?
As long as you need them.
Yeah. No shit.
Because at a certain point, you know, like I said, when you're napping at the airport, that's when it's time to hit the refractory period.
When you got to scare the guy who's scolding you behind in the stall. You got to turn around.
Supports the strongest, most powerful erections possible. Achieve peak sexual enhancement. Just one capsule a day for strong peak male enhancement. Dawson.
Call now to score a special free 30-day trial of Enzyte and receive a free sample of their popular prostate supplement. All you pay is shipping. That's a free 30-day trial of Enzyte and a sample of their popular prostate supplement. Free. Hurry. Call 1-800-364-9680. 1-800-364-9680. Or go to SmilingBob.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. Free trial requires Feelife enrollment with future auto shipments.
All right. Yeah. I'd like to be a crazy thing to take a, do a time machine. Have a bunch of people that traveled in like the 50s and the 60s, you know, when guys mm-hmm. were like ascots and pocket squares and
stuff
like that.
You think people were shitting it up in that in those days?
Oh, and just take them for a little walk around the airport, body strewn all over the place, people napping, barefoot, feet up
what
on
the
everything.
They would literally think the world that was like the world, the apocalypse.
Kennel full of dogs, everyone with their dogs and their bare feet and everywhere, eating food everywhere. The other thing, too, is they don't eat the food at the restaurant.
No.
They take it out. They take their bare feet. They kick it up. They got their dog, and they're just flopped out. And they're plugged in everywhere. Everyone's got the jack and the phone and the whatever is all plugged in, and they like it's a little homeless. It's
nobody
really
gives a fuck. The airport slogan should be the airport. We don't give a fuck. Nobody cares. It's just like laid out food here. I'll eat how I want. Like nobody cares about like who's what. That's why you see like video or pictures of people taking of just strangers like shoving like whole sandwich. Like nobody has any decency to think about like
no. But again, I do think that activity takes place on the other side. It's not their airport. Even their airport is sort of international waters for horrible behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. It's sort of like their own little, the white man's little Indian casino or something. We just go over there and get away with fucking murder. It's like we're on some sort of tribal ground or something where we can kick our shoes off. Like, again, you could imagine of going to a Sears or a mall or anywhere, getting barefoot and sleeping on the floor. It sounds insane, right?
Well, even having a beer at 8 a.m.
Ooh, yeah. Forgot about that part.
Present company excluded.
Yeah.
But
No. First off, yeah, like you going, it's 8 a.m. and you're like, I'm going to grab a couple cold ones at the sports bar and then I'm going by the fudge factory. It's Tuesday, dude. Like, what are you doing?
It's Tuesday.
Hold on. I can't get to the fudge factory. I can put my shoes back on. I'm going to go shit up the bathroom pretty good. Give some guy the stink eye in there, just pissing in one of the stalls. And yeah. Dawson, by the way, the most honest man on the planet. Because, Dawson, remember when we used to work together over at the old radio station?
Yeah. It's an exciting time.
I walked in. I walked into the bathroom. Tell me what you think. Let's be honest. The bathroom, all it had was one large handicap stall, like, you know, big enough to roll it in there. I feel like I've seen a million handicap stalls, but never had the satisfaction of seeing a handicapped guy shitting.
Never.
What is that?
Well, how handicapped?
Well, I don't know, but what just once I want to see a wheelchair like parked outside the stall and hear a guy in there like like struggling.
First of all, do they park it or do they like trust and like do they trust enough to leave it out or are they bringing it in?
I bet they roll it in.
I bet they roll it in. That's why the stall is so big.
I've exited a handicapped stall to have a person in a wheelchair waiting outside, and I felt truly awful.
That's a lot of bad luck. Here's how honest Dawson is. I walked in during the radio show to the bathroom, and it's nothing but a large handicapped stall and a urinal. And that's all that the bathroom, maybe two urinals. I can't remember. Was it two urinals or one?
I think there were two. They were side by side.
Two urinals.
Sounds like a Fairfield and
there were for sure two stalls.
Two stalls or two urinals?
One handicap, one regular.
One handicap, one regular. Ooh, I don't remember that. Dawson, you remember that? I just remember the two urinals and the one stall.
I know that I was peeing in the stall next to the urinal.
And two urinals, one handicap stall. And I walked in and I looked down and I noticed the flip-flops. And I said, Dawson? He said, yep. I said, are you taking a piss? He said, yep. I said, is the seat down? And he said, yep. And I said, you walked past the two urinals to go into the stall to take a piss with the toilet seat down. And he said, yep. Now, what do you think of that?
What do I think of that?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I applaud the honesty.
Mm-hmm. Very honest, because it could have easily said the seat. I put the seat up.
I feel like we have to find out what his reasoning was. I'm sure you did.
I will, as has been explained on this very program numerous times over the past 15 years.
You're constantly defending your piss habits.
The seat had one of those splitters down the middle, and I am also a good person.
Yeah,
like our friend Adam over here.
Thank you.
If I pee on the seat, I always cleaned it up.
Always.
Always.
Why walk past the two urinals?
Oh, because no, they weren't empty urinals. I don't recall that.
There were guys in them?
Yeah. They were in them. They were splashing all up in there.
No, the bathroom was empty when I walked into that place.
Right. Well, I'm a long peer.
Okay, but why not?
Is that the name of your first book?
Yeah. You saying that the toilet seat had the split in it is not, that's not a strong defense of that action.
Well, that's where the drip goes.
I would argue, though, the people who designed that do almost beckon guys to pee.
I would argue
without
that
raising
I have awesome
it,
aim yeah. with my penis.
I'm saying awesome walking aim. Past the two urinals into the handicapper to take a piss without raising the toilet.
I think one day we should really get into this and break down everything that really bothers you about this. It would be exciting for me.
It's not, there's nothing bothers me. It's just noted.
Well, it's like
it's a window.
It is like a little bit of a challenge, though, because when you do see the seat down, like, you know the right move is to lift it up. But part of you, like you just mentioned, with your pee and your dick control, you want to think that, like, this, you can stay in between. It's a little
is that
game. You
want to
be like, I don't have.
I think what's
for?
Important here is that Adam thinks I'm an incredibly honest human being, which is the truth. My middle name is Ernest.
Again. I called out to him, and he answered, and I'm very honest. I wouldn't have gone in and checked.
There was a slight hesitation.
Listen,
the seat down. I said, yeah, because I knew what was coming. I knew it. I could feel it. And I just saw the next 10 years of my life flash by.
All right.
But it's been 15.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many out there, though, like what happened to me in that stall, like, has happened around the country. Like, if other bathroom bully, if there are other people taking it into their control to, like,
shame people,
yeah, or just like feel like they need to speak up in in a bathroom about the, like, the way people are conducting themselves.
I don't feel like I need to announce to any strangers I need to shit. I don't.
That
wherever I am.
Yeah, like, that's the first point.
I don't need to go. I like to pretend like I've never, like, if I see a group of strangers and I go, when's the last time you took a shit? I'd go, 4 years ago. And they go, when do you think you'll shit again? I don't know. When was the Olympics?
When, like, was Dante Bichette playing?
Yeah. That's seriously. Like, yeah. I don't like that. Just a proclamation,
sure,
that I'm shitting in front of strangers. And I don't even, I'll check the bathroom, make sure the place is cleared out, do the whatever move, you know, do the courtesy flush, like anything to get away from that. So I certainly wouldn't invite that dialogue with somebody.
I guess we should get the female perspective. Would a woman ever accost
another? Never, ever. Never ever. That's what I'm thinking. I've never, ever heard of that kind of fight.
You only have one option for your process.
Right.
But you guys are lucky in that there's always
privacy.
And there's always the shadow of doubt because you're sitting. Meaning, if we're in there sitting and the door's closed, we're shitting.
Well, that's what I'm realizing. It's
easy,
really,
man.
I
pee sitting down sometimes.
It happens on occasion.
Yeah. It seems really on or off for you guys, though. It's very binary here. What I'm realizing is you probably never have the thing where you sit down to pee and then you realize more has to happen.
No.
You're very task oriented when you go in there.
It's like the way we shop. We're like, I need jeans. I'm getting jeans. I'm leaving.
Sometimes I just go in the bathroom to browse.
We are the exact opposite. There are times when you sit down thinking you're going to take a crap, and then you go, I just sat down and took a piss. It's kind of nice.
Wow.
And then there's that moment.
Those are those,
like,
golden moments.
Should I wipe? Literally, you go, should I wipe my ass as long as I'm here?
And you're like,
I did sit down.
This is part of the.
Yeah, if you tell your dog to sit and you don't have him to roll over, you got to give him a treat anyway.
Yeah.
Used to.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
You know what?
Should I wipe my ass after I piss sitting down?
Anything. Discretion is the better part of valor at this point. I'm just going to wipe my ass. Yeah. All right.
It's muscle memory at that point.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Encore, baby. Encore Insurance Services. That's right. You want the insurance. You don't need to walk out the skid marks. Encore, 866-347-5748. Or you can visit their website, online. You can go to smartterm.com. That's smartterm.com. Thinking about getting life insurance? Already have some coverage. Want a little more? True story. Our buddy Kit works in sales over here, 37, non-smoker. Got himself a 20-year, $500,000 policy, less than 30 bucks a month. Why don't you give Encore a call? See what they can do for you. Call now, 866-347-5748. You owe it to the family. You owe it to yourself. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found at their website at smartterm.com. All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunts.
I'm a long peer.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah, yes. Adam Ray, about last night with a good friend, Brad Williams, available on iTunes, also out on DVD and Blu-ray, The Heat. And you can go to his website, AdamRayTV.com, AdamRayTV.com. You can Twitter him at Adam Ray Comedy. A couple shows coming up in Tacoma, November 21st or 23rd. Flappers Comedy out here in Burbank,
yeah.
November 29th. Always good to see you, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
And David Wild as well, Wild About Music. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Adam Ray, David Wild, Allison Rosen, and Bull Brian saying, mahalo.
What are you, gay? For call-in times and phone topics, follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Like Ace on Facebook and follow him on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Free live podcast this Sunday the 24th at the Staples Center Hooters with guest David Alan Greer. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, stand-up, Mangria events, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.
Now that the show's over, remember to go to NatureBox.com and order great-tasting, healthy snacks. 50% off. Get a handle on your health and your hunger with delicious snacks like French toast granola. Support the show and get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com. Use the promo code Adam. That's naturebox.com, promo code Adam.